It's Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Let's bring in one of our favorites. He is the Sportsnet prospect analyst, Sam Cosentino. What's up, Sammy?
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on over there? We got lots of action going on over there.
Oh yeah, it's been quite the day, but we've been counting down the days. Like we were hoping the Canucks would stick in the playoff race and we could continue to do draft prep maybe a little bit later on in the season, but they couldn't keep the dream alive, Sammy. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, it's tough when you trying to play with four lines and four centers. And that's a tough goal. I mean, I don't know. You still got to be happy about the future. And who knows, like, really what's going to happen with these games at hand in Montreal and so on and so forth. So I think it's a little bit too early to shut it down yet. It's not too far away, but it's still maybe a bit too early.
Forever the optimist, Sam Cosentino joining us here on Reach Deep, and we love it. So this 2021 draft class, Sammy, it's
Oh, hold on one second. Okay. Hold on. We got to bring this up. Sammy, We've been running a Sammy Cos countdown clock.
Yes.
Since the Canucks started losing in February. So just want to let you know, I know you're not on Twitter, but we've had this clock going on, and this is a big moment for us that you're on the show.
I'm on Insta, boy.
Oh, that's right. We got to tag you in those.
Sammy Cos on Instagram.
Yeah. Sammy Cos 4.
All right, there we go.
I was off the grid. I think that's what they call it for the last week.
I don't know about you, Sammy, but like all I post is pictures of my Spro. You know, like every morning I make a nice espresso, and I like, here's my Spro, morning Spro, number one of the day. And people freak out when I've had my fourth by like noon. So,
yeah, that's not good. I do my two in the morning. I have my, like, I'm like you. So I have the handheld machine that I travel with. If I go anywhere more than 3 days, I bring it.
Of course,
it does a little Nespresso capsules. That thing's outstanding. It's Nespresso. It works on battery too. That thing's killer.
You're committed. I love it.
At home, I'm going to tell you, the Ionia coffee, if you can find it, the Grand Crema in the white bag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got all these people, Illy, Lavazza, this and that. They want to be the Italian cool guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to reach deep. You know what I'm saying? you got to reach deep here. You got to get in to the land, boy. A little Ionia, Grand Crema, white bag, little red and blue writing across the front. Best coffee I've ever had, and no one will tell me any different. I tried this and that. Forget it. That's the way you got to go.
That's where the Spro is. I love it. So Sammy Cos on board with the Spro, and now let's get into some draft prep. I mean, how's your year changed? I mean, you're usually in a rink every single night, Sammy. How has this year for you changed as you analyze the upcoming draft class?
Well, it's awful for a whole bunch of reasons. Like, obviously, what you see in person is the very best thing. And there's two elements to that. It's using your own eyes to corroborate, what you've seen previously, what you've watched on video, and the conversations you've had. But getting that live person-to-person interaction is also hugely, hugely important. So, you know, I might go to Mississauga's close to the house. It's a place where a lot of scouts go. It's close to the airport. I might go watch a game there and run into anywhere from 8 to 12 scouts and then work them at the intermission, sit with some of them, have those conversations. So the two elements by not going to the rink live have really, really hurt. And the Ontario Hockey League, as you know, is still not going. So then there's that, the most recent thing is the under-18s. But with going to the under-18s creates a whole bunch of challenges. It's very difficult for us at work to travel right now, so it requires multiple levels of approval, and that process has started for me already. And then it's about following the protocols once you're there in Texas, and then trying to streamline and be as efficient as you can for the amount of time that you have to be able to see as many games and players as you want in. So the video part is it's tedious, it's monotonous. It becomes extra challenging for me because to put things in context for the European teams is really difficult, as in to know who a player might be playing against. Yeah, he looks awesome the shift, but is he going against a fourth line guy? What's the league like? So a lot of the context I lose when watching video with the European players. Now I can watch video and watch games of the CHL players and have a pretty good idea. I know this team's good. I know this player's pretty good. He's been around the league for a while. So when something happens, you have context. So that's where it's become challenging for me. And it's about leaning you know, on the network a little more and doing your best to get out and see whatever you can. So I've had some preliminary discussions with the Quebec League about getting out there when their playoffs begin, because hopefully you'll be able to see some Maritimes players, because it's tough to get into that bubble right now. And then it's about quarantining, and it's really just coming down to working the schedule to maximize the efficiency as best as possible. And then, guys, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there is a rumor out there that the CHL may indeed put on a little bit of a prospect event in the early part of July. There has been a lot of talk about that, where maybe prospects from each of the three member leagues get together and play in a small tournament, like a showcase type of thing. So that would be huge if that were able to come together in early July.
Well, the European aspect is so interesting, because you got a prospect like Francesco Pinelli who's playing in the Slovenian League. How do you access that? I know we live in a digital world and you can get access to that video, but it is totally different than previous years. All right, let's talk about Tier 1 of this upcoming draft class. Generally, Sammy, we ask you every single year, how many players are in that Tier 1? What's the case for 2021?
Yeah, I think about 15 are there. Are in that group. It's D heavy. It's the state of Michigan heavy. When you look at the Wolverines and the three prospects there that I expect will go in the top seven, maybe the top five. Another one in Luke Hughes, who's committed to go to Michigan, but is now hurt, was playing with the U.S. under 18 program. A guy like Chaz Lucius, Sasha Pastajov, they're all Michigan based, either with the under 18s or with the University of Michigan. So you have a pretty good Michigan centric, you know, group of first rounders. And then you look at some guys now. Dylan Gunther's obviously picked up exactly where he left off and exceeded from where he was last year. You look at a guy like Brant Clark, who again, an Ontario based guy, but playing over in Slovakia in the men's league, that I think in the long run will probably end up being really helpful for him. And then you get it, you get, you know, sort of that cutoff around 15, I believe. You know, Edmondson might be in that group, Robertson, out in Sweden, a couple of Russians that might, you know, kind of tip that group a little bit. But I think 15, and it's interesting because I've had some conversations today, and I think the depth of this draft is probably perfectly suited to what this year is all about, meaning there's a lot of scouts out there that don't feel confident about the depth in this draft class, and they're kind of lucky that it's timed this way that you don't really get to see everyone as much as you would like. And so there will probably be more misses. But again, we're not looking at that depth like we did with the O2s.
You mentioned Luke Hughes. Every Canucks fan is like, hey, they can pair up the brothers Hughes there with Quinn and Luke together. I know he's got the season-ending injury. How do you view Luke Hughes, and how does the injury maybe change his status?
Luke Hughes, to me, is a lot like where Jake Sanderson was last year, where you knew coming into the season that the foundation of skating was there, that he would play a good defensive style of game. I think where Luke started to open some eyes was his ability to produce points at the rate that he did, pretty close to a point per game in his 50-some games that he played. And the fact, you know, he went on a 9-game heater there, and people were saying, oh, maybe there's more depth to this player in terms of being a two-way guy than what we originally thought. So I really look at him at the same trajectory as I did with Jake Sanderson last year, and he likely sits somewhere in that top seven and maybe even that top five. And who knows, he could challenge Power or Edmondson to be the first defenseman off the board as well.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Sam Cosentino, Sportsnet's prospect analyst. Sam, we've been we're approaching the trade deadline here in the NHL, April 12th, and there's a lot of chat about the value of a draft pick, especially once you pass the second round. Is that pretty much up in the air based on, you know, how much scouting has been done, how much hockey has been played? Is it a bit of a free-for-all this year beyond the second or third round?
Yeah, for sure. And there's a couple of things that come into play for me. And the scouts that I've talked to, they feel that the draft picks won't have the same value this year as they have in years past or what they may have next year. So does that mean, you know, you're going to be able to extract a little more, you know, if you're the selling team? Potentially. But then you also look at the depth of this draft class and where it's not in comparison to what we had with last year's class. And that kind of, you know, takes the shine off things a little bit as well. But, you know, there's going to be a couple of teams that are in a position, you know, Toronto, Colorado, for example, who may have to give up a little more than expected to try and really take advantage of the window that they're in now with as good as they are right now. So that part's going to be interesting for me. So I think if you're a seller in this market, You know, I'd be looking to try and defer some of my picks to the 2022 or 2023 even. I really like what 2022 has to offer up, you know, right away. I think that's kind of cool to keep an eye on that. But I would definitely say that the value of the 2021 draft picks are slightly less than what we've seen in years past.
Sammy, we appreciate your time as always. We'll be talking again soon and maybe fire up an afternoon spro.
You know it. You know it. Stay up all night. You got it. Thanks a lot, guys. Great talking to you.